And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that they had answered, that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answering, "Here, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. But to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offering and sacrifice." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and no man after that durst ask him any questions." Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about strongholds and undisciplined love. Let's pray. And Lord, thank you for your word. It's an amazing book, Lord. It's so powerful. It changes life. It convicts. It converts. It strengthens. It brings light. It guides, Father. It does amazing things. We thank you for the Bible. And thank you that it lasts through all the challenges. It's the anvil that wears out many hammers. And it's still changing lives today. And it still works. And Father, tonight as we study your word, we want to find out what you tell us to do, Lord, in your way. I just pray you'd make your word clear to us. Give me power and wisdom of what to say. May what comes forth be important and practical in each life. And I pray you'd speak to us, and your spirit would speak through me, Lord. I just give myself to you. Take, as we just sung, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands, my feet. Take everything, Lord. Take my mouth and use it for your glory and the impulse of your love, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we see in this chapter, we are to choose what to love. And we're talking about strongholds in our life. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The Bible says, bringing down strongholds and tearing down strongholds in our life. And we're talking about strongholds in our life. That's a very common stronghold people have that the devil uses where they continually fail in their life in this particular stronghold. And that stronghold is undisciplined love. Undisciplined love. And this verses, you notice you're supposed to choose what to love. That's really, really important you get that from the very start. You were supposed to choose what you are going to love. That is not natural to human beings. Human beings just kind of love what comes to them generally, but we are supposed to choose what to love. And God even chooses what to love. I'm going to read a passage out of Deuteronomy and chapter 7. And just real briefly, in verse 7, it says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest in number, but because the Lord loved you, and because you would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers." Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8. The Lord set his love upon Israel. The Lord set his love upon Israel. He says, "I am choosing to love Israel. I'm choosing to put my love there upon them." And the Bible says the greatest commandment in the entire Bible is to love the Lord, your God. And then it says how to love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. So you're supposed to choose to love him, and then you're supposed to choose him with all of your strength, all of your love, all your heart, all your soul. Therefore, it says that is what you choose to do. And you choose to set your love on him, and you choose how much to love him. It's very important, he says, to do that. He says, "I chose to love you. I set my love upon you. I focus it." And I said, "I'm putting my love right here on top of you." And that's what God says. We have people occasionally, we'll meet them and they'll be in the world and they'll be in the sin of the world and doing the things of the world. And we'll meet them and reach them and talk to them and get to know them. And they'll be bragging about what they're doing in the world and bragging about the things in their life and their sin and all the things they're doing. They're bragging and all about it. And then they come to church. And the Lord starts speaking to the heart, and all of a sudden, this is the greatest church that ever was, which it is. And this is the greatest church which ever was, and they think, "Oh, this is so great." And they fall in love with this church, and suddenly, "I'm the greatest pastor that's ever been." And I'm glad they had that perception. But they think that, and they love this. And then there's still a sin in their life, and they still talk about that sin with a lot of love and affection. And then so I see they love and they love and they love. And everything that comes along, they love. But, you know, they still have some things they love in their old life. And they keep loving that. And then all of a sudden, this person changed their life, and all of a sudden they're not dating the same person, and they really loved that person before with all their hearts, and all of a sudden they come to church, and in a little while, all of a sudden they're telling me, I found the love of my life. Well, that's what they told me when they talked about the first person they met that they broke up with. And they fell in love with the church, and they fell in love with the somebody in the church, and they fell in love with somebody else in the church, and all of a sudden it's the love of my life, and they love them to death. And when somebody is like that, I begin to get very worried, because I'm glad they love the church. I'm glad they think I'm nice. And I'm glad they love the thing they're in right now. But understand, their love is just a love that gets hooked to everything. And a love that gets hooked to everything is very dangerous biblically. You're not supposed to have a love that gets hooked to everything. Your love is supposed to be very disciplined. I will choose to love this, and I will choose not to love this. I will love this. I will not love this. I will love this with all my heart. I will love this a little bit. I will choose how I love. Most people just fall in love. It's kind of just simple. Ugh, he's cute. Ugh, she's cute. Ugh, we love each other. That is not the way you do it. If you do that in life, you're going to find yourself getting hurt a whole bunch, and it won't work out very well. You ever had a really, really, really strong magnet? I don't know where to get those anymore. Little horseshoe magnets, little tiny things, and they're very strong. And by the way, kids don't need a video game. They just need little things like that. Play the magnet all day. And you get two magnets, especially. That's a lot of fun. And you get a really powerful magnet, and everything you do with it, it goes, you're messing with it, and as a kid, also it goes, and hooks onto something metal. And you're like, and you got to slide it off it, sort of, and get it off the edge or whatever. You're trying to get it off there, and you got to figure out how to get it off and pry it sideways or whatever. But that super strong magnet, you got it off there. Man, oh, man. And hooks something else, you pry it off there, and you got it. And the magnet's very useful, but you want to be able to control what it hooks to, because that's the way love is. And when love gets attached to something, it's very hard to get it off of there. Proverbs chapter 4 says, my son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What you're going to love, you got to keep that very carefully and decide, I got to keep my heart. I got to make sure I don't love things I don't want to love. I got to look forward. Listen, before you ever get attached to somebody in a marriage relationship or a dating relationship or anything else, understand your heart can get attached very quickly. And you better know a whole bunch about them before you even get involved. Because you might all of a sudden get your heart attached and say, you know what? This isn't the kind of person I really want to be with. I can't get away from him. I can't get away because your heart's attached. You've got to choose how your heart is used. Your heart, it's very attaching, and you love things very deeply. And in the Bible, we're to choose what you're supposed to love and what not to love. I'm going to take a turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And the passage that's talked to you also, we'll refer back to in Mark chapter 12. But in Hebrews chapter 1, we see about love and how we're supposed to choose what we love very carefully. It's referring to Jesus here. It says he gets the power of the Holy Spirit because he knew what to love. Verse 9, Hebrews 1, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So, in this verse it says, Jesus loved righteousness and he hated sin. And both are biblical. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. It is good to hate the wrong things. Why wouldn't anybody hate something that destroys lives? Why wouldn't somebody hate things that kill people? And why wouldn't somebody hate a destroyed life or a hurt child? You're supposed to hate certain things. Why wouldn't I hate the sin that put my Savior on a cross? You know what? I hate my own sin. It drives me crazy. Frustrates me. I don't like... You should hate things in life. There's things you hate. And we don't love murder. We don't love all kinds. There's all kinds of things. And it says, Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity, which is sin. Therefore, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In other words, Jesus Christ got anointed with power because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. We're supposed to love certain things and not love certain things. And the Bible says what? What are we supposed to love? First of all, it said God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. This is the greatest commandment. The number one commandment. You are supposed to set your love on God. By the way, that doesn't happen easily. You can't see God. If a man can't love his brother who he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? See, God does not stand in front of you and say, let me give you a bunch of trinkets. Let me do a bunch of nice things for you. Let me bless you and make you happy. He doesn't appear that way to you and make it obvious. He says, let me give my son for you to give you eternal life. and I want you to love me back. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We accept Jesus Christ, our Savior. We say, Lord, I know you died for me on the cross. I ask you to save me, and thank you so much. And we sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And we fall in love with Jesus because of that, because he died for us. But that doesn't happen easily. You know what's easier to love? A whole bunch of things we're not supposed to love because they're right there in our face. Listen, the 16-year-old girl with her 16-year-old boyfriend, well, they're in love. And they just like, ugh. And you can't get them apart, and they're just... And you say, you guys have so much affection and so much feeling toward each other. Just relax a little bit. Do you know it's easier, and it's a strange thing about love. It is easier for a couple who's just started dating, who get attached too quickly, it is easier for them to love each other, strangely enough, than a couple who's been married 20 years. It just is. Love has got to be taken care of, and love's got to be focused, and love's got to be used in proper ways, and not just, I love. If you just love, well, okay, what if someone says, you know what, I love to blow myself up in a crowd of children because of I'm a Muslim and because I'm a terrorist. Okay, his love is not being used well. You can't just say, I love, so I'm good. No, you got to love the right things. There are some very evil people who love to do bad things. How many people have ever known somebody who loves to hurt people? Okay? You understand? Love itself can be used for good or bad, just like anything. And you got to grab your love and say, love, you're not going to hook yourself. Whoa, you're going, no, you're not going to love that. You're going to love this. And the first thing we take our love and hook it to is the Lord, our number one love above everything else. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Everything you got in you, you fall in love with Jesus. You say, Lord, I love you with everything I have, Lord. Nothing will come between me and you. Lord, anything you ask, I love you more than life itself. If they're going to kill me for serving you, go ahead and kill me. I love you, Lord. Let them kill me. I love you, and I'll be glad to die for you. That's loving the Lord with all of your heart. But that doesn't happen naturally. You got to focus your love. Next, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. We read that in our text. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. You love other people. And it says that's the second greatest commandment. Thirdly, you're supposed to love your family. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he says three times, husbands, love your wives. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, wives, love your husbands. You're supposed to love your family. But you know what? Not everybody loves their family. Some people love... By the way, I've watched in my life, having grown up and seen a lot of things and been around a lot of rough families and grown up with love things. Listen, my neighbor growing up, he loved his alcohol way more than he loved his wife. Happens a lot. They would rather... Somebody would rather do certain things than love their family. Somebody else loves money so much, they will not quit working. They'll work 80, 90 hours a week to make a fortune, and their kids are just being neglected. He said, do you love your children more than you love your job? They would say yes, yet their actions don't prove that. And people love things and set their love on, and they don't love their families enough. Your family, listen, your families, you need to love them on purpose. God commands us, husband loves your wife, wives love your husbands. You know why? Because we aren't always lovable. My wife has to work hard to love me sometimes. Don't look at me that way, like you have no idea what I'm talking about. Husbands, love your wives. Wives love your husbands. Think about them. Write them a nice note. Show them love. Express your love. Take time to love them. You must focus your love. A lot of other people, their love wanders from their own family, even to other people. Next, what are you supposed to love? Love righteousness. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness. Talking about Jesus. He loves purity, holiness, goodness. Love righteousness. Love good things. Next, love other Christians. Let me take you to John 13. Let me turn there. As I was studying, I probably have 125 verses written down for this sermon. But I thought, man, which one's on loving your brother? If a man love not his brother, how can he love God? He that hateth his brother is a murderer. 1 John is all about loving your brother, the book of 1 John. But John 13 tells us pretty clearly we're supposed to love our brother. John 13, Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye have love one for another. If you want to be a person who loves greatly and loves right, you will focus your love. So, I go over and I say, I'm going to love Matthew because he's my brother in Christ. Does that mean Matthew's perfect? Can I tell you some stories? No. I'm choosing to love him not because he's lovable. He's not. I choose to love him not because he's lovable. God doesn't love me. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not look down at me and see all my sin and say, you are so lovable. He looked down and said, you have a whole bunch of sin, but I'm going to choose to love you. Great love does not love because something is so lovable. Normal love does that. Great love says, I'm going to choose to love you when you're not lovable. You know what? A lot of things in life aren't very lovable. You know what? A baby is not lovable when it's first born. I mean, you love it because it's yours, but that thing's a lot of work. And you know what? In life, you choose. I'm going to go and I'm going to love this person. You say, you know what? I'm not going to love them because they irritate me, but God says to love them. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. You know what? I like myself a lot more than my neighbor. But the Bible says love them. You love because you know how to love, not because they are so lovable. You've got to choose to love your brother and sister in Christ. Choose to love everybody in church. Not everybody in church is perfect. I love what somebody said. If you ever find the perfect church, don't join it. You'd ruin it. Not everybody in church is lovable, but every Christian you're supposed to love. You choose to love them. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, see that you love one another fervently with a pure heart. You should have an intense love for everybody here at church. Are there people that bother you? Of course. There's Christians that bother you. Are there people in church who frustrate you? Yes, of course. There's humans. Humans always frustrate you. But you love them anyway. Because you know how to give God's love. And as a father hath loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. I want you to love like I've loved, which I loved you unconditionally. Peter, you're going to curse and deny me three times. I'm still going to love you. So you love John. And you love James, and you love other people. Do not you've got to learn to love people in spite of their failings. You got to learn people to love people in spite of their weaknesses. You love them. You love other Christians, and you love them fervently. Next, you're supposed to love the Bible. Love the Bible. Psalms 119. I'll just read you a series of verses in Psalms 119 about loving the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119 and verse 119. Thou puttest all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. Verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 159, he says, consider how I love thy precepts. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Verse 165, he says, great peace are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love the Bible today? You know what? If I didn't have the Bible, first of all, I wouldn't go to heaven. I wouldn't know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If I didn't have the Bible, I wouldn't know how to run a family. I come from a terrible, broken home. I have no idea how to have a family except for this book told me. So we have a great family. I would not know how to deal with my finances. Nobody ever taught me. I didn't have a dad at home. And I never learned how to deal with my finances. And if I didn't have this book, I wouldn't know how to deal with my finances. I love the Bible. I wouldn't know how to deal with my enemies if I didn't have the Bible. I wouldn't know how to love unlovable people if I didn't have the Bible. I wouldn't know how to see my life transformed if I didn't have the Bible. I love the Bible. I used to take my Bible every night with me, and I would take it with me, and I would sleep with me. I would sleep with it every night in my bed with me. I would read it till I fell asleep every night. I used to memorize it at nighttime and read it. And sometimes I would fall asleep when it fell on my face because it was laying on my back and it fell on my face. And I'd close it up and roll over next to it. And I still have that Bible that I did all that with. I love the Bible. Always have a Bible with me. Always have a Bible with me. Listen, once I got a wife, I replaced the Bible with a wife next to me in bed. But I still love my Bible and keep it with me all the time. Hope you love the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. It's the perfect Word of God. We get a little old and we don't sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible! We should have that kind of excitement like the little kids do in Sunday school. It's the Word of God. It's God's love letter to you. Love the Bible. And yet it gets dusty in many places, many houses. Love that book. Love that book. We should love heaven. Just some things the Bible says we should love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen, when a few people you love start having health problems, when a few people you love and few things in this world, you start seeing bad things happen, and you say, you know what? Even so, come Lord Jesus, I want heaven to start. When your body starts getting old and creaky and you have pains and spots you didn't know you had, muscles and nerves, and all that stuff starts happening, and gravity gets stronger and stronger. In my lifetime, gravity has gotten so much stronger. And I don't know why that is. I used to be able to jump so much higher and run so much faster and all that stuff. Couldn't be me. Gravity has changed. And all these things happen. And you know what? You get to love heaven. You think about the mansions and seeing Jesus, and if you're doing right, him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you look forward to heaven. Set your affection on heaven. Love heaven. Don't love this world. This world passes away, and lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't love this world. Love heaven. Next, we're supposed to love wisdom. Love wisdom. Proverbs, let me just read a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Love wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. This is referring to wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Love wisdom. And then one more verse, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Listen, the more you live in life, the more you learn to love wisdom, unless you're a foolish person. But listen to me. There are a lot of foolish people who don't want wisdom. You know why? Because they want to do what they want to do, no matter how bad and wrong it is. But when you all of a sudden want your life to be right, and you want to do the right things, not make foolish choices, and raise your kids right, and live right, and get everything right in your life, and get your finances right, and get your relationships right, you begin to say, I wish I had more wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. I need to know what to do. God, give me wisdom. And you love wisdom. And when you know what to do, listen, when you're young, you usually don't love wisdom. When you get older, you learn to love wisdom. And you should learn to do that when you're young. What else should we love? Love our enemies. Love our enemies. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 says this, love your enemies, verse 43. It says, thou shalt heard, it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Oh, man. The other ones were a lot funner. Loving God. I like that. Love your neighbor, that's good. Love wisdom, that's nice. Love your enemies, you don't know my enemies. How many of you got some people in life that you don't hate, you don't despise, but they're your enemies? And you know what? We live in a vindictive world sometimes. Sometimes your enemies, not only are they your enemies, but they can't wait to hurt you. And you got to love them. It's hard to do that. How do you take that thing that's natural, that hooks to things that you like, and say, wait a minute, I don't want you to love that. Here's my enemy over here, and I want you to love them, and not, whack, it's stuck to them. No, not that kind of love. I mean, you say, I'm hooking love to you. You know what? You might be mean to me, but I'm going to love you. Father, forgive them for they don't know not what they do. That's what Jesus did. Love them. Love your enemies. One more thing, just a list of things the Bible says to love. Love the rapture. Bible says those, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, even though God has given a crown to those that love his appearing. Are you looking forward to Jesus coming back? Are you looking forward to that? Love his appearing. But, Bible also says things you're not supposed to love. Hebrews chapter 1 says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Do you hate sin? Can I tell you, let me, we want to know how to love people. One of the things you'll learn to love people is when you learn how to separate sin from people. I might see something doing something really bad. I could tell you so many stories about people who do things bad. Bad friends, bad neighbors, bad people who give drugs to people who ruin lives. I mean, listen, I go through every dreg of society, to very moral people, to very, 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 very rough people. Got a phone call from jail this afternoon, okay? And I from Yakima. And listen, I've talked to everything you could name. And sometimes I look at somebody and say, you know how many lives you ruined? Sometimes I know a man who just took a girl and just ruined her life and put her up on Pack Highway. I knew both of them. You know how mad I was to that guy? I want to say, you know what, let me take you behind the church and not bring you back out. And that's what my flesh wanted to say. I said, I just ruined her life. But you know what? And it was terrible and awful and wicked. And once I learned the sin, but then I saw that guy's family he came from. And his family wasn't, it was a nasty family. I learned to say, you know what? He did a terrible thing. He deserves punished for it. He needs to go to jail for it, all that stuff. But that guy doesn't know what else to do in life. This is all he knows. It's all his brothers did. It's all his family does. It's just a disaster of family. And you know what? I separated that girl from her sin and said she can still be used by God and she's very important. And I separated that man from sin. I said, I'm not going to get bitter and angry at him. I'm going to love him and try to restore him to God. You got to learn to separate sin from sinners. You got to learn to hate sin. And the way to hate sin is to see what it does to people's lives. Listen, I didn't have a dad and I got a big scar on my forehead because of alcohol. Okay? I don't love alcohol. Okay? I lost my family because of that. My dad was an alcoholic. I watched my neighbor's dad smash his wife's face into a car multiple times, all the time. Caught him cheating on her multiple times. He was a drunk and alcohol. I don't love alcohol. I hate it. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 22:1. I don't like it. I hate it because of what it does to lives. I hate child molestation. I hate murder. I hate domestic abuse. I hate all kinds of things that hurts lives. When you love people, you hate things that harm people. And you're supposed to hate things. Hate iniquity, it says. Hate sin. If you don't if you do not hate it, you'll try it and you'll do it. You got to hate it. Hate terrible things. Hate bondage. Hate ruined lives. Hate what people being addicted. Hate that stuff. Number two, you're supposed to not love the world. Not love the world. 1 John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You're not supposed to love this world and its system. The way it thinks, the way it lives, the way it doesn't serve God and put him first, all the priorities of the world. We're not supposed to love the present world. We're not supposed to love money. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, you are not supposed to love money. You cannot love God and mammon, the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You're not supposed to love money. It is amazing that money is something that everybody says, I don't love money, but they live for it. Money is a thing that if you do not be careful, it is amazing. Money is an amazing thing. And it's very... Don't grab my money, Paul. Money is an amazing thing. Money, you say, I'm not going to live for money. I don't love money. And yet, money is so powerful, you just naturally start loving it. And your heart gets attached to that thing, even though you don't want it to. Money is like a beautiful woman to a man or a handsome, wonderful man to a woman. It naturally attracts you. And this stuff right here is so powerful, people will kill for it. It is so powerful, people will leave their families for it. It's so powerful, people will risk their lives and go to jail for a long time for it. And you're not supposed to love it. Do I like paying my bills? I like paying my bills. I always pay my bills. Do I like getting a paycheck? I love getting a paycheck. Do I like having money to take my family out on a date? I love it. I like taking my family on vacation. I love being able to do that. But I don't love this thing. Matter of fact, after a while, it gets kind of frustrating. And you get irritated at paying bills and money. It's always a frustration. It gets tiring. And you just say, you know, this stuff's a pain. I got to have it. I got to pay my bills. But I'm not going to live for this stuff. I'm not going to love money. But I got to go to the casino. I got to try to win. And so many people go to the casino and they play the lottery. Why? Because they love money. It's not enough to just have your bills paid. Yes, it is. You don't need $10 million. Get your bills paid and be happy. Otherwise, you get your heart attached to it. Commanded not to love money. Don't live for it. Put God first and don't love money. And next, this is the big one. You're commanded not to love anything more than God. You know what? If I love this pulpit more than God, this pulpit's bad. If I love that piano right there more than God, piano becomes bad. If I love anything, if I love my family, the Bible says, more than God, it's sin. He that loveth brother or sister or all those things more than me is not worthy of me. The Bible says there's lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People who love their family more than God. People who love their life shall lose it. And he that loseth life shall find it. This can be a great stronghold for you because you love anything more than God, it becomes bad. It becomes an idol. You love your church more than God, it's an idol. Love me more than God, I'm an idol. You don't love anything more than God, anything. Even good things can become bad. Let me take you to two passages, we'll be done. First Kings. First Kings chapter 11. Solomon was a man who loved God and was very spiritual, but he didn't guard his heart. And it became a stronghold in his life and ruined his life. First Kings chapter 11 verse 1 says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Amorites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, and the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for they will surely turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he turned, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." Says in verse 4, "And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and Solomon went after false gods." And verse 6, "Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." Listen, Solomon did not guard his heart. His heart got attached to women who were idolaters and very wicked people, and they took him away from God. If the pulpit was God, they grabbed his heart and said, "You love us." And he said, "No, I love God too." And they said, "Sorry, you love us more." And he fell in love with the wrong people and didn't guard his heart, and pretty soon he was away from God and was worshiping false demons because he didn't love God. One more person, we'll turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. A man who started churches with the Apostle Paul, his name is Demas. It says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And he left God's will, and he left the Apostle, and left Jesus because he loved the world that's here now. And if you love this world that is here now, you will not love God. You must control your heart. It can be a stronghold, a person. You always fall in love with people you shouldn't fall in love with. You keep falling back in love with the things of the world and going back to the things of the world. And you keep falling back in love with money and putting God in the back seat so you can make your money. And God always gets put in the back because you don't love properly. Grab your love and say, "I'll hook you to this. I will not hook you to this. I will attach you to the Lord. I will attach you to my neighbor. I'll attach you to the Bible. I'll attach you to my family. But I will not attach you to the wrong people. I will not attach you to sin. I will not attach you to this world that I live in. I'm living for heaven and eternity." And you can have a great life serving God. But you must control your heart because your heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. And it will hook itself to the wrong things. And you don't want the heart to be drawn to the wrong things and you're drawn away from God. Let's pray tonight. Lord, your word, we read so much of it, Father, but it talks so much about our heart, Lord. And really, I could have preached 5 messages on this one subject. But tonight, I wanted to focus our heart on this strong